But this week, as I was before the Lord, I started another way of studying about Jesus. My favorite way is just get into Gospel of John and find the red words and read what he said. But this week I started another way, and I ended up reading out of Isaiah 53. And I discovered there, if you read Isaiah 53 as a natural man, it gets depressing. But if you see it in the light of the Holy Spirit, it gets very blessed. And I want to share this morning on branches. Now, this is what came to my heart. And as of last night, I was more convinced than ever. And Paul graciously allowed me to take this morning, and I want to share on branches. And then when we speak, some of us speakers, we don't believe you need confirmation, everything's faith. But when little things happen all through the service and they're working in your favor, you get excited inside. It kind of helps lift you up. Well, let me tell you what got excited this morning. Really excited. Now, I told you I'm going to share on branches. Now, you probably already know where I'm going here. But you remember the wine you had this morning? I mean, the grape juice you had this morning? I want to tell you something about it, what got me excited. That was homemade. That was made with grapes growing right here in Delaware. And Catherine's mother made that wine, a grape juice, for us this morning. And when I heard that, I thought, Lord, this is lining up beautifully. Because I want to talk about branches. I want to talk about fruit. I want to talk about pruning. And I just praise the Lord for that. And then a couple other things that's been said in the meantime. And I just want to thank the Lord for his wonderful presence here this morning. And I thank you for your testimonies. And that the giants had no strength at all. But one stone, they were slain. Amen. And I thank the Lord for Stephen's timing. He got there, everything worked out beautifully, and the hand of the Lord is in everything. Amen. So let's turn to Isaiah 53, and I just sort of want to wander along there a little bit and share some things with you. And as I have already said, when you read, did I say Psalms again? I mean Isaiah. Did I say it right? Okay, thank you, Lord. As I had said a while ago, when you read this in as a natural man, it can kind of get depressing, and they're talking about Christ. And while I was studying and pondering about today, I remembered some things I remembered when I was reading out of Isaiah. Let me ask you a question. How many books are in the Bible? How many?
66.
66, right? Mm-hmm. How many chapters are in Isaiah? 66. Did you know that the first 39 chapters of Isaiah is talking mostly about Israel, and the last 27 are talking mostly about Jesus Christ? And I think sometimes I just wonder if there's something there that lines up. In chapter 40, it starts making reference to Jesus Christ. And so I don't know if there's any great value, but when that the best part about it was I remembered it. At my age, it's good to remember things. It gets you excited when you remember things. But anyhow, I was reading Isaiah 53, and let's just sort of go along here a little bit. It says, "Who has believed our report?" I don't know which translation I'm reading out of it, but it doesn't matter. As long as the Holy Spirit, our dear Lord, precious Lord and Heavenly Father, we do not want to open this word without first asking for the presence and the power and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Father, only the Holy Spirit can bring these written words alive. We know it's the Holy Spirit who written the Bible. We know it's the Holy Spirit who's guided these men's lives. And Father, we know it's the Holy Spirit who's guiding us this morning. So Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit be present in the reading of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, listen to this. For he, that's Jesus he's talking about now, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when you see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And as I was reading that, I'm thinking, they aren't the best descriptions I have of Jesus Christ. I was thinking I could come up with some better description of that. And then I want to go over to verse 10 and just read that for you a minute to show you how the natural man could get depressed here. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him or to crush him, some translations, and has put him to grief and has made his soul an offering for sin. And it looks almost to the natural man that this is a deliberate plot of God about Christ. And well, it is. But here is the spiritual part of that. As Phil makes real to our hearts from that heavenly, and as Jeff has from the heavenly point of view. Remember when Christ was dying on the cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, we believe that the reason why God separated himself from Christ at that time is because at that moment he became sin. And God could not look upon sin. So here, at that very moment, our salvation was brought into the world. Salvation became ours at that moment. So God's delight was looking at us. He couldn't look at the sin, but he, at that moment, our salvation was introduced to us and into the world. And so we are the apple of his eye. And at that moment, God could rejoice in the fact that he was giving his son, that he might rejoin himself to his creation, the highest of his creation, mankind. And I was thinking along those lines, and then go back, verse 2. And he grew up before him as a tender plant. You see, I see him like King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the mighty ruler, and he is. And then it says, and a root out of the dry ground. And I'm not too good in agriculture, but I know some things about agriculture. And if you see a root in that condition, you just know it don't stand a very good chance. You know that if that root takes its natural course, it's not going to make it. And aren't you glad that we got somebody looking over our natural course? Well, we wouldn't make it either. All right, now I want to turn to Isaiah 11 for just a moment. Well, what do you know? I turned right to it. 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. So there we go. There's that stem again. There's the root, the branch coming out of Jesse. Now, Jesse was the father of David. I'm not sure of this, but it was Jesse, the offspring of Boaz and Ruth. You would know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here we're beginning to see, and out of this, the Bible is saying that out of this, his root is going to come this thing. Now, I want to turn to Revelation 5:5 right quick, and I want to read a scripture. Jeff was reading this to me earlier out of his mechanical Bible. But 5:5, Revelation 5:5. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion and the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loosen the seven seals." Now I want to go to Revelation 22. I turn to it again. And this is Jesus speaking. One of the last things he said in the New Testament. "And Jesus has sent my angels or messengers to testify to you about these things to the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Now, I said I want to talk about branches, but first I want to talk about the root. And even in Isaiah and two places where, and other places, we are talking about the root here. And if you read in 1 Samuel, God was talking to Samuel the prophet. Saul had sort of blown it and he wasn't going to be God's king anymore. And God was choosing another person to be his king. And he said to Samuel, "Go down to Jesse's house and I want you to anoint one down there because I have found a king in his generations, in the line of Jesse. I have found a king that's going to be a king there." And remember, and he went and they brought the sons of Jesse to Samuel and he kept looking and Samuel kept saying, "It's none of these, it's none of these, it's none of these." And finally he said, "Jesse, do you have any other?" He said, "Well, I got one other little kid. He's at home tending the sheep." And he said, "Go get him because I'm not going to move till I see him." And when he saw him, he said, "This is him." And he anointed him. And the Bible said, let me find that. Somebody help me. Samuel 16. First Samuel, I think. Yeah. I can't even find Samuel.
It's on page 376.
That's your Bible. I thought I knew the story well, but it don't seem to be wanting to come to me too good this morning. Yes, okay. Let's go to verse 1 first. "And now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" So here is out of the root of Jesse is coming this. And then it says down in verse 13, "And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." So we see here that David is the anointed one. If you read in Acts 32, they're quoting the old question there, and he said, "This servant will do my will." And he was talking about David. This one, so David has been selected, and now why is it important that Jesus would say, "I am from the root of David"? And this is where I want to kind of get to the branches eventually. You see, the Bible says if the root's holy, the branches will be holy. Now, when I was a boy, we had a grape harbor in our yard. And we called it a grape harbor because you could actually walk under it. In fact, we used to sit under it. And the grapes were above your head. And when the harvest time come, we would actually stand under this grape harbor and pick the grapes. And I can remember sitting at a table under the grape harbor when it was harvest time. And my job was always to mash the inside of the grape out of the skin. And I found out later why, because that's where you get all the stains at. And it was me. I ended up with a stained hand, but I didn't know then. But anyhow, and I would sit there, and then Mother would separate things, and probably one of my sisters. And then, but those grape skins never got wasted. They got washed real good. They got put through a grinder, and they were mixed up with some of the other grapefruit, the fruit of the grape, to make grape jam. Then we also made grape jelly. There was a difference. Jam had the skins in it. The jelly just had the grapes in it. And then we also made a grape syrup. That was for our pancakes. So the grape harbor became an awful important thing in our family. And at the harvest time, we would this would happen. And this grape harbor produced good grapes. I mean, Ipsar became a family tradition. Everybody had grape harbors then because you did the same thing we were doing. But our grape harbor kind of got a tradition of having the good grapes, just great grapes. Grapes, great grapes, thank you. And one time I had an aunt who wanted a sprig off in our grape harbor. And she was going to cut a limb off. You know how you do that, and take it home and plant that because of our grapes were so great. And my dad said, no, don't do that. And you know what my dad did? He went to the base of the grapevine, and he dug down in the ground, and he cut a piece of root off. And he put it in soil and everything. He said, now, the reason I'm doing this, that root will produce exactly the same grapes that we have. The branch, it might vary a little bit. But if you go to the root, it will produce exactly the same grapes. The large, sweet grapes that we had. And that's why I said a while ago, if the root is holy, the Bible says, the branches will be holy. Now you know where I'm going. You already knew where I'm going. Jesus said, I am the what? The vine. You are the branches. And that's where the fruit is produced. But there's three things here we got to remember. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. The Father, the Heavenly Father, is the dresser. And there's got to be fruit. Now here is, to me, the part I want to get to. There's two times a year, according to the scriptures, when they dress the fruit, the vine, in the fall, in the early winter. He goes through the vineyard and he cuts the branches back. And they are disposed of. And the reason they're cut back is because he wants more fruit the next year. But then in the spring, when life starts coming up through that thing again, there's little sprigs will grow off in these new branches. And the perfect vine dresser will go around and clean those little shoots off that you don't want there. And the reason is for more fruit. That's called the pruning. That's called the pruning. And as I was sitting in the presence of the Lord, allowing him to prepare me for the day, a lot of your hearts and minds came on my heart. And I realized something. It's springtime. It's pruning time. And he's pruning us. And I thought of hope. I thought of a lot of you. I thought of Lex Greer's wife. And I really thought of Steve and his wife. And then there's some that aren't here this morning. I know that they're being pruned. I pray that they soon find out that it's God pruning. But I want to say something to you. There's none of us here this morning that he's not going to prune. He's going to prune every one of us.
all of us, every one of us.
And that's a good thing. Because if he's pruning us, we're his branches. He's acknowledging that he is the vine. We are the branches. And the Father is working with us. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives the life. The Holy Spirit that gives the fruit. Now, we celebrated with Catherine's mother's grape juice this morning. But that's not what he's looking for. He's not looking for grapes. He's looking for the fruit of Jesus Christ. He's looking for the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of holiness. If the root's holy, then the branches are holy. He's looking for the fruit of love for one another. And he's pruning us so that nothing begins to distract us. One of the other things about spring, it brings on other activities that we haven't done all winter. Like our yards. Everything needs sprucing up a little bit. Don't allow any of those things distract you from producing fruit that the Lord wants to see in our lives. And I thank the Lord that he is pruning us. I am thankful to the Father that he is the dresser. Because only he knows when to do this. And I can remember one year, it seemed like our grapevine, I'm back home now when I was a boy, had really gotten big that year, and my father cut it back severely that year. And I can remember thinking, well, he's killed it this time. He really did. And when I could get up in the mornings, I could look right down on our grape arbor. And I can remember every once in a while looking down and thinking, he's done it. He has really done it this year. It's just not going to come to life this year. And you know, one morning, all of a sudden, I looked out and I saw little teeny green things coming all over the grape arbor. And it seemed like almost they were coming forth while I was watching. That's not true, but it seemed like it. But that grapevine came to life in the spring, and it gave forth a lot of fruit that year. I can remember that. And as I was thinking about this message, that old house we lived in is gone. State Highway. It's got a road right through there. But I was thinking, I think I'll go back there one of these days. I know about where that grape arbor was at. I'd give anything if I walked there this spring and saw a little grapevine coming up. You can believe I'm going to dig it up. And I'm going to plant it in Jeff Smith's yard because it won't grow in my yard too many trees. So I thought I'll take it to Jeff Smith's and we'll plant it in his yard. But praise the Lord. If the branches be holy, then, I mean, if the roots be holy, then the branches will be holy. If the roots are righteousness, then the branch will produce righteousness. If the roots are love, then the branches will produce love. And so my thing here this morning is that we are in springtime. That we are being pruned. But it's with loving hands. It's with hands that are concerned for us. And it's with hands who has a direct purpose for us. It is by the hands of one who is leading us in the paths of his righteousness, in the paths of his choice. So my word this morning is, be cheerful. Be cheerful. For the Lord is faithful, and he will dress us. Amen. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your precious written word. We thank you for the spoken word who comes through your servants. And Lord, we thank you as Steve and his wife has said, you are in control. And Jesus said, you can do nothing except by me. So, Lord, we surrender all this morning. And, Father, we take this moment to commit ourselves back to you. And if any moment I have tried to regain any part of my life, I repent. And if any of us here in the body sees anything else but your hand, we repent. We give it back to you. We dedicate all of these things back to you this morning, Father. That in your good pleasure and in your loveliness and your righteousness and your holiness, that we produce exactly the fruits. And Father, that they may be multiplied throughout the world. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. I know I deliberately probably cut the service a little short. But I felt in the Lord that I needed to share this at that time. But I'm also not too sure that maybe there's another testimony or two or another song. And that song you were playing before we... one of the songs, can you remember which one it was? It's while we were all standing up talking. And I said to you, I feel like getting up and singing that song solo. I'm not going to do it. But I'd like for us to sing that song. And I'd like for you just for a moment or two, remain in the presence of the Lord. And if there is another testimony or anything like that, would you please come and share it with us?
Before I play that, I just want to emphasize something that Charles said. I don't need to re-preach his word, but in the message that I had prepared this morning, there one of the points was about pruning, and the illustration was almost identical. Jen, you'll remember the apple trees at the farm. Dad was real good when it come to pruning, and there was one particular year he pruned that one tree, and we thought for sure it's dead. But the apples, I mean, normally those apple trees only produce little green apples like that. But that particular year, that tree, I mean, they were like grapefruits. And so God, it's clearly a point for us this morning about God's...
Amen. Thank you, brother.
When the grapes that are dry, they become raisins.
Yeah,
they're good.
Flood, his mercy reigns. unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun.